Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
God, grace, you got everything. Now, why do you need to grow in it? Why do you need to increase? Why does grace and peace need to multiply? Well, if you have grace, you have it all, but you have it in seed form. We get Christ in seed form, and then we renew our minds to a full understanding of who He is and what He is in us. And in that, there's multiplication and there's growth. So 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So this is after the cross. This is the Apostle Peter who writes a letter to the church, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied. So what does grace and peace be multiplied mean? Multiplication is increase. Okay, usually. I know the mathematicians and the engineers will say to me, not always. Well, let's take it in this case that multiplication is increase, okay? Armand says, yes, I'm watching you. So it's increase, because with God, it's from grace to grace. It's increase. It's more and more. It's from glory to glory. So it says that we have two things that can multiply. We've got grace and we've got peace. Now, I don't know about you, the world seems to be in the opposite direction of this, where grace and peace is diminishing. It's reducing. It's dividing. It's getting less and less. Less grace, less peace. I mean, the fact that we're not in a third world war currently is probably just grace. Amen. There's many things happening. And look at movies. All the movies are just avoiding the next world war, avoiding this, and grace and peace really should increase. And then it says beautifully, how do we get that increase? Peter, we agree with you. How do we get it? We get it in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, meaning the knowledge, but it also means the knowing. Knowledge in our Western culture, we think we need to go to the university, get a 7-year degree or do a master's or a doctorate, and then we'll have knowledge and then we'll have more peace. Now, that doesn't work like that, okay? How do I know? Well, I've seen it. I've seen it in people. The more they know knowledge, even of knowledge of the word, often the less peaceful they become. Because it's not knowledge, head knowledge. It's really knowing, a heart knowing. It's an intimacy. It's a relationship. The word says we need to experience the love of the Father. So you can experience the love of the Father while attaining knowledge, definitely. But that's not necessarily the focus of it if you go and attain knowledge. But knowledge is a knowing. It also could be translated acknowledgement, which I like, really. So the more we acknowledge who God is, the more we acknowledge who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the more we're going to live in grace and peace. Isn't that true? For me, that's true. The more I realize that God is a good God, that God is a good Father, the true nature of God is that He doesn't bring bad things over my path, that He doesn't cause harm and hurt, the more at peace I became. Because now I realized, well, it's not just what's around the next corner, God, but God, what's around the next corner? I'm excited. I want to go for it. God, you're with me. You're in this. And people will say something about God. I'm like, I don't know if we're serving the same God. Because my God is a loving Father. My God is a good, good Father. My God sent Jesus so that Jesus would be the payment so that I don't have to pay. So I don't know. I mean, it's probably the same person we pray for, but it's not through the same lenses that we look at him. Because when we see how he sees us, then we very much realize how we can see him. Amen? So, it's really powerful that we know that there's increase. I like that. Some people would maybe be disappointed and say, are we ever going to get to the end of it? I'm like, are we ever going to get to the end of it? Probably not. But there's more. There's more goodness. There's more grace. There's more peace. So Mark 4 and verse 8 from the New Living Translation says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil. So they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. So how do we see growth? How do we grow in grace? How do we see this increase happening? And it's really about the seed. So we get Christ even in seed form. The new life is in seed form. It is the fullness of your new life. It's all that you're ever going to receive from God. But now you can let it grow. You can let it sprout. You can let it increase. And that's really powerful. How do we do it? Well, Mark 4 and verse 14 from the Amplified this time says, the sower sows the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation. The more you hear grace, the more you listen to grace, the more you hear about the way of salvation, the more you're going to grow in peace and increase in grace. Now, sometimes you're glad for mistakes that you made because you learn from them. Amen? You don't have to learn that way, okay? There's better ways. Learn from other people's mistakes. It's much cheaper. It doesn't cause as much harm and hurt. I got out of grace once. So you think probably, Peter, I got this grace thing. I'll never get out of it. Well, I thought the same, and I got out of it. Why? Because I kept on sowing the seeds of God's salvation, and I started sitting under teaching and listening to ministry that was about performance, was about condemnation, was about the way to righteousness, the way to holiness. And I had this thought that came out and was like the righteousness journey of the pad van heilig maken. That's a very much an Afrikaans statement, not just in the wording, but in the way of thinking. It's a road to holiness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not like that. Amen. Because holiness doesn't mean perfect living. Holiness means set apart, consecrated, designated towards God. So we are called to live holy lives. We are called to live separated, segregated lives. Separated from what? Separated from sin. Segregated from the world. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Well, the world has a linear curve of increase. Okay, now currently we're probably in a recession or a depression, if you look at growth and the increase of the country. I don't want that. Amen. I don't want to live according to that. I don't want to live in that vein. I don't want to live in that position. I don't want to live according to that principle. I want to live in the multiplication, the increase, the continuous increase side. And that is really what we have in grace and peace. So, Peter, is the word enough? Is the gospel message the good news? Surely there must be something. Something that we add, some secret sauce, some recipe, some 10 steps. No, in grace, maybe it's 5 steps, or if you really get it, it's only 3 steps. No, it's not like that. It's one step. It's Jesus. It's receiving Christ. That's the step you take. That's how different, what difference it makes. Shouldn't we do more, confess more, profess more, claim more? Well, if I tell you in Mark 4 that the sower sows the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation, and then in Mark 4:8, it says that the seed sprouted, grew, and produced a crop, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let's look at Acts 12 and verse 24. It says, the word of God grew and multiplied. So grace and peace is multiplied in our lives as we increase in the knowledge of God and who God is and in who Christ is in us. Now it says in Acts 12 and 24, the first church went and they tried this. What did they try? They tried to just spread the gospel, okay? And what happened? The word grew and increased. It multiplied. It reached further and in more places. So we shouldn't get sidetracked. And I'm so glad the beginning of the year, end of last year, we as a ministry said, listen, what is not dividing us, but what is distracting us? And you can ask the leaders. This was on the 17th of January. I shared this with them. We had no clue about lockdown. No idea that we're not going to have services in person. We had no idea. I'm not claiming that this was a perfect prophecy. Please not. I'm looking at everyone who had perfect prophecies. I'm wondering, where are you now for 2020? Your clear vision. No one included lockdown, but anyways, let's move on quickly. We said, what is it that is distracting us? What is it that is getting, keeping us busy? What is not fruitful? What is keeping us busy but not fruitful? What's not bringing increase? And one thing we said is, well, if we read Ephesians 4, we don't see entertainer as part of the gifts for the church. We see apostle, we see prophet, we see evangelist, and we see pastor teacher. We don't see entertainer. So we're not up to put a show up, okay? And you'll hopefully find that this is much more comfortable, not just because the venue is easier, but our whole tone is more, this is a living room. This is a family gathering. If you want to go for a show, guess what? I don't think you can now. No, you probably can, and also be 50 people in a room. But this is not this. This is not a show. This is not to entertain you. This is not to give you goosebumps. Well, if the Holy Spirit gives you goosebumps, amen. But this is a place to grow, to increase, to have family, to unite, to be together. And in church, there's many. What is church then? Church is people. The church is the growth of people. That's why we said online, when we only did online, we were still the church. We could continue because the church is a body meeting together. Yes, we met in digital platforms. I know there's still people online, and we're glad that you still join in with us. you're still part of it. The church is really the body of Christ getting together for a specific purpose. Now, what is that purpose? If I look at the word, it should include, it's not explicitly that, but it should include growing in peace and grace. If you go to church more and more and peace and grace is not increasing in your life, then you need to see, what are you listening to, or are you listening? Okay, it's not just always the church's fault, amen? Sometimes we just go sit, tick a box, and don't listen. Or we don't go and apply it, and maybe we're the, like the seed that fell on the stony ground, or the seed that fell among the weeds. So we can't always blame the church or the message or the messenger, but we need to see, are we growing in grace? Are we growing? Is there increase in peace? Because peace and grace go together. Now, I'm not talking about circumstantial peace. I mean, I also want to get rid of masks and get back to, forget about level one. Let's skip it and go all the way to level zero and forget about lockdown altogether. I'm with you. But that's not going to bring peace. Amen? It's going to remove some distraction. It's maybe going to reduce fear, but it's not going to bring peace. People find new things to put on the news to scare us with. Okay. That's how the world works. It's a business model. They need to pay rent at the SABC. Or do they? I don't know. All those news companies, they need to pay rent. They need to pay salaries. They need to have a revolving business. So how do we grow? We grow in the Word. The Word grew and multiplied. By growing in grace, we're growing in the Word. And then what do we sow? We need to sow the Word. We need to sow the seeds. Where do I get the seeds, Peter? Well, God gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9, I think, and verse 10. God gives seed to the sower. So let's look at Ephesians. I'm jumping around a little bit, but I want to show you just about increase and grace. Peace. Let peace increase in your heart. Let's see how we live happier lives, more peaceful lives, more gracious lives. What does grace mean? Well, peace sort of is, maybe peace is a bit selfish. I want to live at peace. But grace is also how you're going to interact with others. Are you more gracious to other people, even if they do not understand grace or do not think like you? Because even that will increase peace. Relational peace. Peace in the workplace. We don't have to just be right all the time. Amen? I love to say this. The gospel is not about being right and wrong. It's about being dead or alive. The gospel message, the true news, the good news, is not about who's right and who's wrong. Because that causes division. That causes church splits. That causes denominations. The good news is about who's alive and who's dead. Colossians 1 says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The kingdom of death, the kingdom of darkness, translated, change of position, not being right. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what God said, don't eat of that. Yet a lot of Christians just want to be right. We're not about right and wrong. We're about the tree of life. The tree of life, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of God. Let's not get distracted too far down that journey. Ephesians 3 and verse 14 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father." Now, I've been looking at Paul's prayers of late. And Paul is praying powerful prayers. He's praying prayers just of effect and influence, but he's praying prayers for the church. And verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees." Some of the other translations says, "For this I pray. I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to what? The riches of His glory." Not the riches of the economy of South Africa. Amen. "According to His glory, to be what? To be strengthened." Let's pause there for a moment. What are we growing and increasing? We should be growing and increasing in peace and grace. Now, a lot of Christianity want to grow and increase in riches and things. Okay, I said that. It's not about that. Riches and things makes life easier, but doesn't solve your eternal problem. Doesn't solve the eternal sickness of a sin condition. He says that you will be strengthened with what? With might. I like that. I mean, this will preach at a men's camp. Strengthened with might. That mighty men. Awesome stuff. Strengthened with might. How? Through His Spirit. Okay, so it's not up to me. Well, is it? Because you need to allow the Spirit to do what? To work in your inner man. So he prays a prayer. He says, I pray that you will be strengthened with might. How? Through the Spirit. Where? In the inner man. We should not be so focused on what is happening around us. We should be more focused on what is happening on the inside of us. Because that's where our soul is anchored, on the inside. Then he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell. Dwell is a beautiful word. It means this is where you are, but this also means that this is where you want to be. You know, sometimes you're with people and you look at your watch and you look at your wife and you look at your watch and it's like you're there, but you don't want to be there. Whatever reason, either the rugby is starting or you've got a nice leftover pizza at home or something. You don't really want to be there, but you're there. The Holy Spirit, the word there, means this is where you are, but this is also where he wants to be. Meaning he's fully present. Because if you're where you don't want to be, you're not there. Like, you're there, but your mind is dwindling off and you're not really adding to the conversation. You're not really building a relationship. It says that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts. Okay, how? I'm asking all the questions this morning because I wanted you to wake up and think. No, I know you're awake. Well done for being here at 9 in a rainy Sunday morning. But it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So where is Christ? In your heart. How? Through faith. Not through works, not through obeying the law, not through keeping and confessing and professing, not even through giving. It's good to give. I give. I love to give. I wanted to actually say, we want to take up a special offering just for Shane and Marna and the work that they are doing in the United States currently. They got stuck there in lockdown. I mean, they went on a trip and they did a few things and then they got stuck. And they're not really planting a church, but they're on a mission and making the kingdom expand there. And I mean, it's expensive to live in dollars, but we can just help them. We can just like give. It's not going to make you more holy. Okay. It's not going to make you more righteous. It's not going to make you take two steps. So if Armand gives a little bit and I give more, then all of a sudden on the ranking in heaven, I'm not going to be two steps ahead of him. No, that's not how it works. We just get to help out a brother, a leader, make his life easier and be effective. And then every person in New York that hears about the gospel, like an old Muslim man that did it 2 weeks ago, that walked out jumping around saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He can't even speak English. You're part of it. That's the reward. I don't want just money back. That's not giving. That's investment. Amen. But you're giving into something like that, and you are infecting the world with Christ. Forget about Corona. You're infecting the world with Christ. You're making a difference in people's lives by supporting. That's really the heart of giving. The heart of giving is we get to support. So if you want to give to Shane and Marna in their mission in New York currently, just speak to me afterwards or make a donation online and just mention New York or Shane. We'll make sure it gets to him and to them and just support what they're doing. But that's not to be more holy. It says that Christ might dwell in your hearts, that you being rooted and grounded. Where? In love. So we're looking at the increasing in grace, the growing in grace, increase in grace and peace. We need to root. We need to root ourselves and ground. So I'm a bit of a detailed person. It's just how God made me. So I read rooted and grounded, and most of you just maybe think, yeah, like I need to be stable. I'm like, why two words? Why rooted and grounded? Well, grounded is I'm grounded currently, but I'm not rooted. Yesterday, we drove past that same tree that I spoke about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago on Botola Ray. And there's this big oak tree that just fell over. Beautiful oak tree. Like, and you can see it's just mud. And then we drove like 10 meters further, 20 meters further, and there's three others that has done that, the same thing, fall over, but it would have been in previous years because there's no greenery or anything. So there was three beautiful trees. They were all grounded, but they were not adequately rooted. And then you get a rainy season like we do now, praise the Lord, the dams are full. And then the mud is not strong enough to keep the little roots intact, and the tree literally just falls over. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be like that. All great and glorious, and then one day you just fall over. Amen? I don't want to be like that. I want to live in the trueness of God. I want to live in the rootedness. I want to have deep roots. This is really so important. Like, I almost feel we should have started here. Okay. We want to grow in grace. Where do we start? We need to start with the roots, the root system. What are we rooted in? We're rooted in love. Your roots determine your strength, your stability, and your roots also determine your fruitfulness. Okay. Not the Christmas tree Christian, why you just hang fake fruits on. No roots. How easy it is to pack a Christmas tree down? No roots. Huh? If you ever had to dig out a tree in your garden versus a Christmas tree, you know, you think, oh, it's a lot of trouble to do a Christmas tree. Well, not really. I know you're not listful at that time of the year, but like, to dig out some roots is different. So what happens when you aren't rooted? You fall over. What are the consequences of being rooted and grounded in love? Well, let's look at it again. What does rooted mean? Rooted means to cause, to strike root, to strengthen with root. So he said we want to be strengthened with might by being rooted. So rooted is really where the strengths come from. To render firm, to fix, to establish, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. So you get grounded, but you get thoroughly grounded, established. The root system does that. Grounded then means to lay a foundation, to found, to make, to stable, and to establish. Wherein must we be rooted? Love. So we need to be rooted and grounded in love. So you need to decide, where am I going to plant myself? That's grounded. And then you need to grow deep roots in that. So love is really the destination. That's awesome. Not works, not performance, not miracles, not signs and wonders. Love. If you prophesy, it's not about the accuracy of the word. I know modern prophetic movements is very much about the accuracy. Daisy Street 154. Who's that? Hand up. Oh, God's amazing. That is cool. But that doesn't change your life. If I say, Lucas, God has blessed you. God is powerfully working in you. What you're seeing now is not anything that God has thought for you. You're going to do so much more. You are now just doing rooted and grounded in His love, in your relationship with Him, with your wife. God is calling you forth to stand up, to rise up, and to be fruitful in days to come. God is going to help you impact nations. And what you're doing now is just a pre-taste of what God has called you to do. Stay where you are, grow deep roots, and move forward in grace. God's going to be with you. You will be fruitful. I didn't plan to say that, but I love him. So that's prophecy from a place of love. I don't need to know that the address of his parents. Well, if God wants to share that with me, we can. But that's really not what it's about. It's about edifying, building up, calling forth something to happen.
I think Armand's also prophetic because he was looking for the batteries earlier, so he knew this would happen. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. What are we doing? We are getting rooted and grounded. What is the foundation? So, we looked at this last week. It says, the one who plants, that's 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. That's awesome. The one who plants, the one who waters. I share a word with you. You go to life group in the week. You're going to get more word. You're going to get watering. You're going to get care. I mean, if everyone needs to come to me and Natasha for people care and relational support, you're going to wait some time. Like, not because we don't love you, just because there's a lot of us. Amen? So we plant the word, others water. We plant the word. This week, we started the new life group in Strand. I mean, we've got two life groups in Strand area now. That's awesome. There's growth. There's increase. I'm going to show you something, another word that God gave us, which is going to bless you. It says, the one who plants, the one who waters, each one will be rewarded for his own work. We are workers together with God. You are like a farm that belongs to God. We looked at Jesus, the first thing Jesus came back and they think, well, he's not Jesus, he's the gardener. He's a farmer, he's a gardener. That's really the first thing that Mary sees after the cross. A farm that belongs to God. You are a house that belongs to God. So we don't just want to be the house. The beauty of a house is that's where God dwells. The beauty of the farm is that's where the increase happens. That's how the world is fed with grace, with increase, with love. Like an expert master builder, I built the foundation. So Paul says, I built the foundation. But Peter, you're speaking about Paul all too much. No, I'm not. He has the revelation that we need. He has the word of God revealed to him of what really happened even at the cross. A lot of the New Testament is not New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's New Testament, but it's not all of it after the cross. So we're not living before the cross. Now, Peter, I need healing. Go touch the robe of Jesus, like the woman with the blood. Okay, where is it? Where is the robe? Then I'll touch it, then I'll get healed. Now you need to find it. It's in the spirit. Where is the robe? Let me not be too naughty. You are enrobed with Christ. So where is healing? In you. It's not about the robe that you need to find and touch. No, it's about inside of you. Romans 8 and verse 11. The same power who rose Christ from the dead now lives in you and gives life to your mortal body. We had a question in ministry school this week. I mean, you must come on Sundays. You get a highlight of my week. We had a question of why do bad things happen? Why do people pass away early? Why do people born with deformities? Well, we looked at it in John 9. First time that I saw it, the Afrikaans Bible actually says because the work of God hasn't been revealed in them. And then we say, oh, but God needs honor. No, there's not a depravity. There's not a shortage on God's glory, that God needs more glory so bad things happen so people can see miracles and praise God. No, that's not what it says. It says that the fullness of who Christ is hasn't been revealed in the person with the deformity. That gives me hope. That gives me grace. That gives me an increase in peace because I know it's not God. I know it's not God who's power hungry, who's praise hungry, who wants to just get more glory and, oh Lord, please, 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 and then there's a healing and then praise, praise, praise. No, it's not about that. It's the fullness of Christ hasn't been revealed on the inside of us. We haven't grown in grace to the fullness of what we can yet. And there's no condemnation for it. It's an invitation. I'm so excited to be sharing this. I shared at Iron Men on Friday morning. And two guys stayed with me. And we were planning to have breakfast and discuss different things, business and whatever. We continued our Iron Men discussion for another hour and at least 15 minutes. Just because of the power of Christ in us. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the eyes of His glory and grace. Yes, we spoke about those things, but it was like an afterthought. Because the true thing that happens and that the world needs is Christ, the cure for humanity, the cure for the sin condition, the true seed that gives grace and growth in every area. Paul said, I build on a foundation. I built the foundation. The day that we took over this campus, I thanked Shane from this verse and I said, Shane, thank you for building the foundation. That is Christ. That's what it says. Shane didn't build the foundation. Paul did. Because he is the one that received the revelation of who Christ is. And he is the one who wrote the letters that expounded it to us. And Shane was the first one amongst us to have that revelation to reveal to us the true foundation that Paul built, that we would not build next to that foundation, no, that we would build on the foundation that is Christ. So guess what? We're never going to be like Paul. We're not called to be like Paul. We are called to build on the foundation that Paul laid out for us. We are called to dig into the Word to see what is Christ inside of us, the hope of glory. And then we are to build whatever we build, whatever family, church, group, whatever business, we build it on the foundation that is already laid. Look at it. I use the gift that God gave me to do this. What is the gift? Apostolic calling? Maybe. What is the gift? The revelation of who Christ is. The mystery that has been hidden for ages and for generations has now been revealed, Paul writes. When is that? 2,000 years ago. He laid the foundation. We build on it. It says, and it continues, it says, other people are building on that foundation, but everyone should be careful how they build. The foundation that has already been built. You see, it's not up to us to build the foundation. It's up to us to grow our roots deep into the love of God. Find the foundation, be grounded on it. Find Christ, be grounded on it. Christ is love. The Son of what? The Son of His love. God, agape, love. It's the same thing. So you find the foundation. You find Christ. The foundation's already there. Don't build in the mud. Don't build on the sand. Find the rock of ages. The foundation is already there. Build on that. Grow your roots deep right there. Stay on the love of God. Don't get caught up in different steps and recipes away from Christ, but stay with Christ, who's the fullness of the Godhead. We looked at it last week. You need to listen to the message last week if you didn't get it, because we're really going places with this. The foundation has already been built. Amen. Is Jesus Christ, and no one can build any other foundation. Shane Holsgrove cannot build any other foundation. He can reveal to us the foundation that already is. So we build Grace Life on the foundation of who Christ is. And guess what's happening now? We are growing our roots deeper into who He is. We are increasing in the knowledge of who God is, who Jesus Christ is. We are growing our roots deeper into love, and we are seeing great things happening. Last week, between services, I prayed for a lady, and I said, please don't flatter me. I said, don't just say you feel better to let me go. I said, put the pressure on me, not on Peter, but on Christ in me, not on you. Put the pressure on me. I know you haven't been well for a while. Put it on me. I'll take it. She said, it's fine. And I said, and I prayed. Laid hands. Don't tell anyone. Okay. I just said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I went on and I ministered to her heart. I prayed over her life. Don't make a big thing about healing. I opened my eyes. I said, how do you feel? Because you see, often we're too scared to ask. But what else? He doesn't feel better. No, it's a fig tree miracle. Tomorrow morning. No, that's a cop out. That's what it is. I said, please, don't flatter me. If it's worse, even if it's worse, tell me. And she said, Peter, I felt a warmth come over me. Pain is gone. I said, are you sure? She said, I'm sure. I said, okay, sit in the service, listen to the message, and afterwards come to me if the pain is back, and then we pray again. Like, now you're telling me, Peter, you're doing it all wrong. That's not how they do it on TV. Amen. Christ in me, the healer. Jehovah Rapha, the name above every name. We looked at it last week. Christ in me. After this, the second service, I was speaking to someone there. I was making sure that the computer's being shut down, etc. I saw the lady come to the front. I was like, pain must be back. So I went to that disappointment, and I like David, I said, I'll stir myself up, and I'll pray again. She's not going to leave here with a burden. She didn't even mention the pain. She just wanted to thank me for the message, for the family, for the experience that she had in the service. Awesome. The healing wasn't even part of what she mentioned afterwards. The pain hasn't come back. Why? She had a revelation of who Christ is. And He is the healer. He is with us. He is in us. And He is growing. Amen? But He's as big as He is. Yes, He came in seed form. The Word came in seed form. The Word made flesh. It was a seed that impregnated Mary. The Word of God became a seed. He came on a man. John 1. Go read John. John is written after basically all the books of the Bible. John wrote his gospel after Paul wrote his letters. Matthew gets in very, like, this one, this one, this one, this one, like 48 generations or something. He sets the tone. He builds the argument. John jumps in. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Boom. Let's forget about everything. Let's speak about the foundation. What does he speak about? Jesus, 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 the whole time. I'm getting so distracted because there's so many things I want to share with you this morning. The foundation has already been built. We've established that. Okay. So we just built on that foundation. If we plant a church, we plant it on that foundation. If we start a life group, we plant it on that. If we go into marriage, we build on that. If I build my house, my Natasha, we build a house, a life together. We want to build it on the foundation. Now, a lot of people want to build the foundation. It's not our job. Find the foundation and build on it. Because the foundation has already been built. It is Jesus Christ, and no one can build any other. The foundation isn't the most glorious part. The foundation isn't the visible part, but it's the structure, it's the strength, it's the might with which we are strengthened. Where? In the inner man. Where does Christ dwell? In the heart. Ephesians 3, we just looked at it. We go back there. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. That Christ might dwell where? In your hearts. How? Through faith. That you being what? Rooted and grounded in love. And then he goes on. He says, start with the roots. Find the foundation. Grow the roots. And then you go into comprehending with all the saints. Then you go into increasing in the knowledge. What is it that we need to comprehend? The 10 steps to healing, the 5 steps to riches, whatever. No, it says that you may comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of what? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Where did we start? 2 Peter 2. We grow and increase. And I told you, it's not knowledge the way that we see it. It's knowledge through experience. It's experiencing what? It's experiencing the love of Christ, which goes what? Beyond knowledge. Why? That you may be filled with the fullness of God. But if I have God, I have all of Him. Yes. But let it grow. Let it grow into your thoughts. Let your mind be renewed. Let it increase in your life. Let grace and peace be growing, increasing in your life. Where do we grow? On the inside, the heart, the inner man. The roots is important. The fruits will come later. This is how we win, how we overcome, how we thrive in life. This is how we overcome addictions, strife, struggle, growing our roots deeper, what? Into His love. It's not just one directional. He has the width, the length, the depth, the height. We grow our roots in all areas into that. By focusing our hearts on His goodness, by strengthening our hearts in grace. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. Says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. We tend to focus on strange there, don't we? No, I'm not going to believe strange things. It says, don't believe many things. Various. It says, believe one thing. Have one doctrine. The doctrine that is Christ. Do not be carried about. What happens if you're carried about? You're unrooted. You're not grounded. You're moving around. Now I want to listen to this guy. I want to listen to this message. Nah, it's not working. Now I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to listen to this message. Yeah, it's working a little. Nah, it's not working. I'm going to listen to you. You never grow deep roots. You never grow deep roots. You never grow. It says, but what is it then that we should look for, Peter? I hear the warning. I see it in Scripture. What is it that we go for? Well, we go for the foundation that is Christ. It says, for it is good. Say good. Good. It is good. That the heart be what? Established. Established. Strengthened. Rooted. Grounded. Finding who you are, but also finding it where you're supposed to be. What is it? Grace. Finding your establishment, your strength, your substance in grace. It's good for the heart. It's good for the heart, the inner man. And then it will overflow to the outer man. We had a word in pre-service meeting. How do you fill a dam? What day? What rain? Like what service? What Sunday? What revelation will fill your heart? It's a continuous filling. It's the planting and the watering and the watering and the watering. And before we know it, the dams are currently at 95%. We can't say this was this day. I mean, last night was pretty cool. like it seems to happen on a Saturday now, and then we come to church a bit tired because we wake up from the rain. But it's still a blessing. 95% or whatever now. Which day was it? Every day in His love. Every day in His word. Every day with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's close this with actually a prophecy from the Old Testament. Ezekiel 17 and verse 1. I'm going to read it from the ERV. Because really this is a story that God shared with Ezekiel. And it really makes a great point, just to conclude this message. So it's Ezekiel 17 from verse 1. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Son of man, I have a story with a hidden meaning for you to tell the family of Israel.'" So it's not for us, okay? Context, it's for Israel. But I want to show you some principles from it that we can definitely go and apply. He says, "Tell them this is what the Lord God says. A large eagle with big wings came to Lebanon. He had feathers covered with spots. He broke the top out of that big cedar tree and brought it to Canaan. He set the branch down in a city of merchants. Then the eagle took some of the seeds from Canaan. He planted them in good soil by a good river. The seeds grew and became a grapevine." Okay, so just context there. Don't get caught up in too much detail. There was an eagle. There was a tree. Took the tree, a branch from that tree, went and took it to a different place. And he had seeds on that branch. And then he planted those seeds. He planted them, verse 5, in good soil by a good river. Okay, this makes me think of Mark 4. This makes me think of Psalm 1. It's like a thread. Then verse 6. "These seeds grew and became a grapevine. It was a good vine. The vine was not tall, but it spread to cover a large area. The vine grew stems and smaller vines grew very strong." I believe that's a word for Grace Life. I shared this with Shane last night. I said, I believe this is us. The seeds became a grapevine. It was a good vine. The vine was not tall. We're not the most famous church around. It's not tall, it's not standing out, but it's spread to cover a large area. We're going to ordain a campus pastor in Solaris Pass. They used to be here with us, you remember? We miss them, but we had to reach out into that area. We start in groups in Strand. I had to sow Armand to go and start a group in Strand, and it means that me and Lucas now need to take over the group here again. So it's more work, but it's reaching out. It's reaching further. It's reaching into new areas and new places. We are currently having Shane in New York, Shane and Marna. It's a whole different area. And just in New York, if you hear what they're doing, this is applicable just to them. They are covering so much ground in that area. Now, New York, you think Transformers or Man of Steel or whatever movie you've watched, and you think it's Times Square. No, New York is bigger than Gauteng. I mean, it's huge. It will cover a large area. The vine grew stems. It's increased, it's growth, it's multiplying. And the smaller vines grew very long. Think about Tigerberg. They used to come here. They're growing strong. They're doing increase. They're seeing more and more people reach in that area. They're now reaching into Blobergstrand and Tableview area because they're reaching out. It's reaching further. We're reaching into different areas. They grew very strong. Then, this is a warning for us. Another eagle with big wings saw the grapevine. The eagle had many feathers. So there's another eagle, a bigger one, more beautiful. The grapevine wanted this new eagle to care for it. Not happy with the current state, not seeing it for what it is, wanting the big tree, maybe the big building, I don't know. Not happy for what they have, not content because the other one had more feathers, it was bigger. So the eagle is not the one. The grapevine says, I want this eagle to care for me. So it stretched what? Its roots and branches towards the eagle. Roots should go down. Where's eagles? So branches go up, but your roots should never go up. So now this vine says, but I want that eagle to feed me. That's not how it works. We can't have any other foundation than Christ. We can't have any other method than love. We cannot go and find some other method, person, organization to grow and water the church. It doesn't work like that. The branches stretched towards this eagle. The branches grew away from the field where it was planted. What were they doing? Even the branches were growing down and out. Now it's growing up. The grapevine wanted the new eagle to water it. It's not an eagle's job. It's the river's job. It's not the eagle's job. The grapevine was planted in a good field, near plenty of water, had all that it needed, but wanted something else, wanted more. It could have grown branches and fruit. It could have become a very good grapevine. I'm not usually one to share a warning, but I want to just share this with this morning and say, you could have an awesome life with much fruit and a lot of impact, but it looks different to what the world is offering. It's according to God's system, not the world's system. This is what the Lord says. Do you think that plant will succeed? Ask yourself, will that plant succeed? It's obvious, no. If you don't believe me, speak to Carlo afterwards. He'll tell you all about growth. It needs ground, it needs seed, it needs soil. No, the new eagle will pull the plant from the ground, and the bird will break the plant's roots. Why? It's like the tree that fell over. The roots are no longer in the love of God. It will eat up all the grapes, then the new leaves will wilt. The plant will be very weak. It will not take strong arms or a powerful nation to pull that plant up by the roots. Will the plant grow where it is planted? No. The hot east wind will blow and the plant will become dry and die. It will die there where it was planted. Ah, Peter, I thought you're a good news guy. I am. I'm giving you the invitation. I'm saying this is the way. We grow our roots deep. Not tall. Deep. We don't reach up. We go according to what God says. God says there's a river. Get into the river. He says there's love. Grow your roots deep in there. He says I'll plant you in good soil by lots of water. It might take longer. It might look different, but it is not a problem because as we grow, we reach more areas. We reach further. We become strong. We reach people. People are being born again. People are being set free. The message grows. The message increases. And it is just a beautiful place. What is the place? The place is Christ. The place is love. What does Paul pray? That you have the tallest building in all town. No, he says that that who God is will be revealed on the inside of you. That strength will be from the inside, not from the outside. That we'll find strength not in bank balances, but in the provider. That we will know it's not to our good works and our performance, but it's the one who performed it perfectly. The one who said it's finished. The one who said, I love you. The beloved Son came down as a seed. The word says in John 2, 1 John 2, he says, beloved. Okay, let's close with this. This is beautiful. Jesus gets baptized. What's the voice say? This is my beloved Son. Singular. Okay, John was there. He was there, nah? He writes much later, 1 John 2, and I think it's verse 2. He says, beloved. Starts there. Not this is, beloved. Now are we the sons of God. One seed came down from heaven. The word says, John again, it says, unless a seed of grain falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. The law is not a seed, and it didn't die. It cannot bear fruit. Grace came down in seed form as the Son of God and died. Fell to the ground and died. And the word says that if that happens, that seed will bear much fruit. How much? We can start counting right here. Because beloved, now are we the sons of God. Beloved, don't get so caught up in sonship, forget about the beloved. We don't grow our roots deep into the fact that we are sons of God. No, we grow our roots deep into the Son of God, the first one, the older brother. There we stand. And he is the vine. John 15. See, John heads this down. it's all in there. You cannot do anything but by me. Stay to the vine and you will bear much fruit. Keep it simple. Don't get distracted by various doctrines. strange new ideas. Find the foundation. Don't try and rebuild it. Find it. Christ, the rock of ages. And we build our lives on that. We grow our roots deep in that. And we see miracles like we did last week. Not because I'm something special, because I'm gaining a glimpse of who Christ is inside of me. And I want to let that out. I want to let that out and see people change, come to Christ, be healed, be set free. That's all there. It's in seed form. Let's go sow the seed.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.